السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أخرج الإمامان البخاري ومسلم عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه قال: كنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم بذات الرقاع، فإذا أتينا على شجرة ذليلة تركناها لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فجاء رجل من المشركين وسيف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم معلق بالشجرة، فاخترطه الرجل فقال: يا محمد أتخافني؟ قال النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم: لا. قال: من يمنعك مني؟ فقال صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم: الله الله الله. فسقط السيف من يده فأخذه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال: من يمنعك مني؟ فقال الرجل: كن خير آخذا. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم: تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأني رسول الله؟ فقال الرجل: لا، ولكني أعاهدك أن لا أقاتلك ولا أكون مع قوم يقاتلونك. فأطلقه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وذهب إلى قومه فقال: لقد جئتكم من عندي خير الناس. جابر ابن عبد الله، may Allah ta'ala be pleased with him and his father, both of them were from the companions of the Prophet salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. He said in this authentic hadith that's been collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, that they were on an expedition with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about to wage war on some of the kuffar. And on the trip, they became tired, so they went to take a rest. And they found a big tree that had a lot of shade. So they left the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by himself to rest under that particular tree in the shade, and everyone else went to their place. Upon that time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his sword, and he hung his sword up on the tree in a place of safety, and he commenced to take his nap. At that time, a Bedouin from the Mushrikeen, he came and he took the sword of the Prophet sallallahu wa salamu alayhi without his knowledge. And then he woke the Prophet up and he said, "Ya Muhammad, are you afraid?" while he was standing over him with the sword. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "No, I'm not afraid of you." The man asked him, "And who's going to protect you from me right now?" The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Allah, Allah, Allah." Lo and behold, Allah ta'ala caused the sword to fall out of the man's hand for no apparent reason. The Prophet picked up the sword sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked the man, "Now who's going to protect you from me?" The man said, "Oh Muhammad, be from the best of the people. Be kind and gentle to me." At that point, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam let the man go. The man went to his people and he said to his people, "Verily, I've come to you people from the best of the people." As a result of that, all of his tribe accepted al-Islam and they became from the best of the Muslims. And this authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, brothers and sisters, there are many examples that we can speak about, but we only want to talk about a few. But the hadith is impregnated with too many examples of what the sunnah of the Prophet brings sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when we hold on to it after learning it and when we call to it. From what we want to mention first and foremost here is that this authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam shows us that there is no compulsion in the religion of Al-Islam. In one of the narrations of this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the man, "Now who is going to protect you from me?" And the man said, "Just have mercy upon me and let me go." And then the Prophet said to him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Then bear witness that there's no God worthy of worship except Allah, and that I'm the messenger of Allah." The man said, "No, I don't want to become a Muslim. I'm not going to bear witness to that, but I will give you my word. I will take a contract out with you that I will not fight you, nor will I be with a group of people who fight against you." And the Prophet let him go. Salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. So the hadith shows that there is no compulsion in the religion of Al-Islam. We do not have the power and the ability to force people to practice Islam or to force people to come into the fold of Al-Islam if they choose not to do so. Allah Ta'ala told us in the Quran so eloquently and so clearly in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah in ayat number 256, which is after Ayatul Kursi, "La ikraha fid deen." There should be no compulsion in the religion. You cannot force people to do that which they don't want to do. No matter how close that person is to you, no matter how beloved he is to you, no matter how hated he is by you, it is not permissible to compel someone to the religion. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told in the Quran by Allah Ta'ala as it relates to one of his relatives, "إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ." Ya Muhammad, verily you do not guide those who you love, your tribe, your relatives, your uncle, your grandfather, your aunt. You do not guide those who you love, but Allah Ta'ala guides those who He chooses to guide. The hidayah or the guidance is only in the hands of Allah. What is the responsibility of us? What is the responsibility of the messengers and the prophets? It is what Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, وَمَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينُ. It is only the responsibility of the messenger, the prophet, the messenger, you and myself. It is only your responsibility to make things clear, not to create shubahat for the people, not to create difficulties in the way of the people, but to explain clearly what the religion is and let the people decide for themselves from their own accord. So therefore, with that being the case, those of us who suffer from children who are older and they are mature, they've reached the age of 18, 19, 20 and up, and we find that they are from the fasaqah, and we find that they're from the zalama. They are the people who are out selling weed and getting high and robbing people, and it rips up the heart of the father and the mother. All you can do is continue to make dua for them and continue to enjoin the ma'ruf and to prevent and prohibit the munkar. All you can do is continue to be patient. Ask Allah Ta'ala from His mercy to have some mercy on them and to guide them to the religion of Al-Islam. But it is only the responsibility of those people who love those people who are straight is to give them da'wah and to make the signs clear. As for those people who are under our authority and we have power over those people, then in that case you can force them and you can compel them like your children. You can force your wife when you have power and authority over her. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he told us in an authentic hadith that's been collected by Imam al-Bukhari, and that the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عَجَبَ رَبُّنَا مِنْ قَوْمٍ يُقَادُونَ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ فِي السَّلَاسِلِ. Allah Ta'ala is mu'jib. Allah Ta'ala finds it strange. Allah is pleased with a group of people who will go into the paradise as a result of being driven in chains. They will go to the paradise and they'll be the people of the paradise, but how will they go? They'll go into the paradise driven in chains. This is one of the many issues of the unseen that the Sunnah has told us about. That there will be a group of people who will enter into paradise chained up. Who are those people? They are the people who are the slaves of the Muslims. They used to be the enemies to the Muslims and the Islamic State. And for some reason or another, they were brought to Darul Islam and they were subjected to the Muslims' power. As a result of that, they were affected by the Muslims and Islam. So they became Muslims and they remained in slavery. So when they die, they're going to go into paradise in chains. So that hadith proves what? It proves that if you have superiority and power over someone, you can compel him. You can compel your child to do those things that normally, if you weren't there with your power, making him afraid of the retribution of your absence, that he probably wouldn't be affected by anything. So that's what we understand from the many things and the many fawaid of this particular hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he himself did not have the ability to force people to the religion. And when al-Islam ordered us to fight and to kill the people, it ordered us to fight and kill the people after they rejected Islam, after they refused to give the jizya, or when they themselves went against the religion of al-Islam. From what we benefit from this hadith, brothers and sisters in al-Islam, is that this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi clearly shows us the level of yaqeen that the Prophet had sallallahu alaihi wasallam as it relates to his Lord Azza wa Jal. The assurity that he had and the clarity that he had that Allah Ta'ala will protect him and his religion and the believer. How he had siqa with Allah. How the Muslim has to be a person who cannot be faint-hearted in his faith, irregardless of what the numbers are of the opposition, irregardless of what's facing him. He has to have husn al-dhan with Allah. He has to have siqa with Allah. The man has the sword over the head of his arch enemy, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there's nothing between him and the Messenger of Allah except air. And Allah Ta'ala takes the sword out of his hand. And the Prophet said to him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah will protect me from you, because he had the siqa with Allah. So how is it possible that the Muslim is faced with a trial that is lesser than this trial of death? And he starts to try to use his mind in shortcuts to get out of his problem. And when the person has that type of yaqeen, it opens up the door for him to elevate to the next level in his relationship with his Lord. And that is the level of a tawakkul. Being a person who has the ability to totally, absolutely rely on Allah. To put your affairs and to make the tafweed of your affairs in the hands of Allah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us these examples so many times in his authentic sunnah. The Quran is calling us to this issue, to be of the people who are the mutawakkilun, the people who truly rely on Allah and Allah alone, putting their affairs in Allah's hands and being sure, inshallah, that Allah is going to take care of them. If we look at the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that's been collected by Imam Abu Dawud, rahimahullahu ta'ala, on the authority of Anas ibn Malik, qala nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man qala bismillah wa tawakkaltu ala Allah wa la ilaha wa la quwwata illa billah, yuqalu lahu hudita wa wufita wa wuqita. And in another narration he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hudita wa kufita wa wuqita. Whoever says, whenever he's going to leave his home, bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, in the name of Allah, and on Allah I rely, and on Allah is all of my affairs. And then he said, wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Whoever says that when he leaves his house in the morning, it will be said to him, verily you, ya Abdullah, you have been guided, and you have been protected, and you have said that which is enough for you. So that is an example of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that teaches the Muslim the importance of being of the people who are mutawakkilin ala Allah. Bismillah tawakkaltu ala Allah wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. From the example that we see of the tawakkul of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa kathiru ma hum, is what happened when he made the hijrah from Mecca with his companion and his trusted friend and companion Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. And they both took refuge in the cave from the mushrikeen. And the mushrikeen came into the cave. And the point where the mushrikeen decided to stop to look in the cave was right directly above the head of Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Bakr, in a state of fear and panic, he whispered to the Messenger of Allah and he said to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لو أن أحدهم نظر إلى قدميه لأبصرنا Ya Rasulullah, if only one of them just looks down, inadvertently he looks down at his feet, he's going to see us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with a surety and without any fear, he said to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, knowing that Allah is going to take care of his affairs. He is the Imam of the Muttaqeen, the Khatim al-Nabiyyin. He has been promised that his religion is going to reign supreme in the earth. So there's no way that Allah Ta'ala is going to forsake him. Similarly, if Allah Ta'ala has told us in the Quran that he's not going to forsake the believer, and that he is not going to allow the kuffar way over the believer, then the believers, they have no doubt that Allah's affair is going to take place. Even though when they look with their eyes in the world today, they see that the Muslims appear to be on the lower part of the ladder. But he has no doubt, because it's mentioned in the Quran, وَلَنْ نَجْعَلَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ سَبِيلًا. We have not given away over the kuffar, over the believer. The Prophet said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, يَا أَبَا بَكَرْ مَا ظَنُّكَ بِثْنَيْنِ اللَّهُ ثَالِثُهُمَا. What is your opinion, Ya Abu Bakr, about two people, you and myself? What is your opinion about two people when Allah is the third of them? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be there. If there are two of you who believe, Allah is there with you with His knowledge and His might. If there are four of you, Allah is the fifth from amongst you. Not in His actual presence, but in His knowledge and His ability to see, and His knowledge and His ability to hear. So with that being the case, brothers and sisters in Al-Islam, there is not a single person from amongst us except there are issues in his life that he's dealing with. And there are certain common threads, certain issues that we all share in as it relates to these trials. From them are those financial situations that we're in. Whatever it is, you take a personal look, an up-close look at your life, and know that you have to have the husn of dhan with Allah. Know for a surety, if you do the right thing, Allah is not going to forsake you. Know for a surety, if you fear Allah, Allah is going to open a way for you. Have the total, absolute reliance on Allah Ta'ala, and you'll be from the people who Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will not leave to your own affairs. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَنَسْأَلَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى التَّوْفِيقَ وَالسَّدَادَ وأصلي وأسلم على نبينا الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى من تمسك بسنته بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. And one of the many narrations of this hadith, إخوان, جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما, he said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم woke up, and when he noticed the Bedouin over his head with the sword, he screamed out to his companion. And he screamed out to his companions to seek their assistance and their help. When they recognized what was taking place, it was too late for anyone to do anything. No one can shoot an arrow. No one can charge the Bedouin. So they all proceeded to look what was going to transpire. We need to concentrate on that aspect. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who answered the question of the Arab, "Are you afraid?" No. Who's going to help you? Allah, Allah, Allah. In spite of that, he shouted out and he screamed to his companions to get their attention so that they would help him if they were in that position. From this portion of the hadith comes something that is extremely important that we want to share with many of you brothers. And that is, this shows us that in the application of a tawakkul, if a person is going to be one of those people who takes his affairs and he leaves them in the hands of Allah, that does not mean that that person should be negligent or irresponsible. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made a tawakkul, and yet he did, and he took the necessary precautions and preventive measures to help his situation. There is not this concept that we find the mutasawwifa practicing where a man doesn't work and he says, "I'm going to rely on Allah and have a tawakkul." A man is sick and he needs some medical attention. He says, "I'm going to get cured by using dua and dua alone. I'm not going to take any medication. I'm going to have a tawakkul." A man is in front of his enemy, and he says, "What I'm going to do is, I'm going to run out there and Allah is going to protect me from getting harmed by any bullets or anything else. I'm going to throw myself to destruction because this is a tawakkul. The Messenger of Allah has told us, Ikhwan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in too many ahadith, that taking precautions is not against the concept of having a tawakkul. A man has to work. A man has to do those things that are necessary to take care of his situation. And anything less than that is not acceptable in the religion of Al-Islam. خَيْرُكُمْ أَنْفَعَكُمْ لِلنَّاسِ The best of you are those who bring the most benefit to the people. So if a man is sitting in the masjid and he won't work, and he's always asking for sadaqah, and he's looking to be taken care of by the Muslims, even though Al-Islam allows you to be from those people who need assistance and you ask, you cannot be of those people. This is your mihnah. This is what you are about. This is your minhaj. Those people who take care of you are better than you. And there are too many examples from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to prove this point that we're trying to make here, that the Muslims have to take precaution. The Prophet told us sallallahu alaihi wasallam in an authentic hadith that's been collected by Imam al-Bukhari on the authority of Amr ibn Abdullah al-Aas and Abdullah ibn Amr al-Aas radiyallahu anhu, annaka law annaka antada'a ورثتك أغنياء خير أن تضعهم أن تدع ورثتك أغنياء خير لك أن تضعهم عالة يتكففون الناس. For you to leave your descendant rich, for you to leave them in a position where they have money, they have their own sustenance, this is better for them than for you to leave them impoverished and for you to leave them as the responsibility of the people. So a man, he takes precaution and he has a tawakkul. He says, if I lose my life or if I die today, I know that Allah Ta'ala is going to take care of my children and those who I leave behind. But still I have to put something away for a rainy day to the best of my ability. A tawakkul is not being negligent and not making any provisions for your family member in this life while you're living or after you die. Allah Ta'ala told the believers in the Quran when He taught us about the ahkam of making the salah of al-khawf, the one rakat that we make when we're in jihad. Half of the community or half of the army, they come with the imam and the other half is over there watching their backs. And Allah told them, خُذُوا أَسْلِحَتَكُمْ Take your weapons with you in the salah. So you have the people in the back half of the group not praying, protecting those who are praying with their weapons. And the people who are praying behind the imam, only one rakat. They're praying also with their weapons. So Islam is telling people, take your precautions. Tie your camel. The man came to the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and literally left his camel untied. They asked the man, whose camel is that? He said, that's my camel. The Messenger of Allah asked him, why did you leave your camel untied like that? He said, تَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ I had a tawakkul. He told him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اِعْقِلْهَا وَتَوَكَّلْ Tie your camel up first and then rely on Allah. Don't leave your camel like that and leave your property to run away. So we have too many examples of this. And not to practice and to apply this is counterproductive and it's retarded. Allah Ta'ala's Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَتَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تُوَكُّلِهِ لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيْرِ تَغْدُوا خَمَاسًا وَتَرُوحُ بِطَانًا If you people truly relied on Allah the proper way, Allah will definitely provide for you just as He provides for the bird. The bird goes out early in the morning with an empty stomach and the bird comes back in the latter part of the day full. But we have to pay attention to the fact that the bird left the nest. That the bird left early in the morning. He didn't wait until the end of the day and say, my risk is out there, I'm going to get it, Allah is going to bless me. And another thing we need to consider, Ikhwan, for some of our younger brothers who have this whacked out understanding about responsibility and working. Another point to consider is, he didn't mention what kind of bird in this particular hadith. But we want to give you as an example the hawk or the eagle. Didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the hawk and the eagle claws to rip his prey up, to fly down and to get the mouse or the rabbit to rip him up? Didn't Allah ta'ala give him keen eyesight to see his prey from far away, to come down and scoop him up and rip him up with his beak? Allah is responsible for providing for the bird, and yet he gave him all of those utensils to use for his own salvation. Allah ta'ala has given us also an intellect. So how's the person going to disregard that favor from Allah? He has to use his mind. He has to go and he has to get a job. This is our religion, brothers and sisters in Islam. And we encourage all of you brothers to get away from this concept of being people who are not productive. Whatever your case is and whatever your mihnah or your career or your vocation is, no matter where you are on the social ladder, you have to get up, Ya Abdullah, and do something about taking care of your affairs. You have to do something about taking care of your family members. There is no marriage for the man who doesn't have any money and he can't take care of his situation. He's going to be alatin ala al-muslimin. He's going to be a burden on the Muslims. So this concept of a tawakkul is a comprehensive concept. We all should strive and struggle to be of those people who are the mutawakkilin according to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought and the other prophets in the Quran, and we have too many examples in the Quran. The statement of the father of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam when he told his boys, his sons, when they were going back to Egypt, وَلَا تَدْخُلُوا مِنْ بَابٍ وَاحِدٍ, do not go into one door. Some of you go into different doors so that you can take your precautions so they don't come and get you at one time. Allah Ta'ala ordered Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to travel with Bani Israel from Egypt away from Fir'aun during the night time when Fir'aun and his crew were sleeping. Take your precautions. Do those things that are going to make you successful. Don't be of the people who are negligent, irresponsible, and then expect for Allah Ta'ala's help to come. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us understanding and application in His deen, and that He establishes the kalimat al-tawheed in our hearts and in our minds. We ask Allah ta'ala to send down for us the rahmah from the sky, the rahmah that all of us are in dire need of. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا وإياكم لما يحبه ويرضاه